Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raj, Śrīma Bhagavatam ki, Girilas Maharaj ki, Jai Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss in last night's class?
Lord, as hard as thunderbolt, it can be as soft as rose.
Nice, thank you. Anything else? What is it?
Haristasura represents false religion. Haristasura. He represents a false religion.
Yeah. Any other point?
Refuge in the Lord dissolves all fear.
No fear. Anything else? Any other point?
We should be careful that we shouldn't make any offense towards devotees. As we see in the case of Arishashura, he put his feet towards devotees and he had to go through the life of the world.
And he says that we must renounce the anger at any cost. Because that will take you to hell.
Yeah. Anything else?
A risk. Demons don't manifest in the work of the garden, just the concept.
Yeah.
But on earth they do.
Yeah, they physically manifest. That's good. So now tonight we'll continue the chapter. We'll go from verses 16 to 28. So we'll continue the pastime of Arishtasura. And we'll hear about the appearance of Radhakundan Shamaki. Very auspicious chapter. Having thus killed the bull demon, Arishta. That's verse 15. So tonight we'll start at 16. After Arishtasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narad Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. So, Mathura.
The term Deva Darshana can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purpose of this narration. Deva means God, and Darshana means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Deva Darshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God. That getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord. And also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are also known as Devas. That there are all these meanings of the term Deva Darshana reveals something of the richness of the Srimad Bhagavatam's language.
That's good. So we'll discuss that first paragraph. What is in there?
Narmuni is as auspicious as saying Krishna. Seeing Narmuni is as auspicious as saying Krishna.
Very good. Anything else?
Narada is very kind, and he was warning himself to back down. Otherwise,
his
future will be the same as
Aristotle. Nice point. Anything else?
That we should be aiming towards saying Krishna ourselves. It's like the ultimate goal.
Yeah. Good. Anything else?
Getting the association of a pure devotee. Through bona fide representative of Krishna. He is as good as getting a darshan of the Lord Himself.
So here we're hearing about the greatness of Narada. So Prabhupada says that by hearing the pastimes of a pure devotee, so in other words, you read the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita or Harisara Prabhu's diary or any of these biographies of Prabhupada, then that's as beneficial as hearing the Bhagavatam itself, directly hearing the Krishna book or the pastimes of Krishna directly. So there was no difference in terms of the potency. So if we hear about the pure devotee or we associate with the pure devotee, it is almost as good, you could say, as hearing or directly associating with Krishna. Nothing replaces Krishna, obviously, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. The level of bliss you experience with Krishna surpasses everything, but basically associating with a pure devotee is of the same nature. It produces unlimited bliss. So that is the potency of Narada. Just like today is the Vyasa Puja of my Guru Maharaj, tomorrow Krishna Goswami. So today we celebrated Vyasa Puja with our God brothers, God sisters at Jai Sachi's house. So all the benefits you get from associating with Krishna, you get by remembering, absorbing yourself in smaranam, hearing and chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, about the pastimes of the Guru. And then you get all the benefits. And you feel enlivened. You feel purified in the same way. So that is the goal of life. So, as devotees, we absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna. As Prabhupada says, in the temples, ISKCON temples, Prabhupada says, if the hearing and chanting is not going on, Prabhupada said, the deity will be worshipped and eventually the pujaris will begin to smoke. He actually said that. Means they'll just stop following the regular principles and they'll begin to. So it is by hearing and chanting. If you only absorb yourself in deity worship, you have to be very advanced to remain completely fixed and completely enlivened simply by deity worship. Generally, most devotees will need both processes. So the process of Bhagavad Vidhi Mag and Pancharatriki. What does that mean, Pancharatra? Yeah, but why is it called Pancharatra Vidhi? Because what?
It was given
by
five nights
by to Narayana. From who? Actually, it says by Hayagriva. The horse-headed incarnation of Krishna. Because, it was the demoniac Hayagriva. There was a horse demon who came and stole the baby from Lord Brahma, so they had to be repeated in five nights. It's called Pancharatra. So over five evenings, this description of how to worship the deities according to the process of bhakti, Upasana Kanda, that was given. That's why we follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg, which is given in this world by Narada, in the Narada Pancharatra. So you need both in spiritual life. You need to worship the deities. And deity worship in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says, just dancing and chanting in front of Gaur-Nitai is deity worship in Kali Yuga. You can go in front of Gaur-Nitai during the kirtan, you can dance and chant, right? That is deity worship. You become purified. That is the process. And the Madhajis are making garlands. Meenakshi, do you have second initiation? Brahminical initiation? But you're able to make garlands. The garlands get put directly on the deities, right? Tomorrow the garlands will go on the deities. Yeah, so that's the system. So she hasn't even received initiation yet. That's how powerful it is in Kali Yuga. And the potency is you can make garlands for the deities. You can dance and chant in front of the deities. You can buy bhoga, which can be offered to the deities. And then if you're fortunate and you become qualified and you take initiation, then you can directly worship the form of the deity. So that is the system of purification in Kali Yuga. No. And actually it describes for householders that is necessary. One must perform deity worship to purify the consciousness. No. Because the householders are very attached to the material energy. No. So by worshipping the deity, it purifies the attachment to the material energy. By the householder performing deity worship, his hearing and chanting becomes enhanced. Because we hear, we chant our rounds, we hear the Bhagavatam. But deity worship purifies the mind and the consciousness so that when you hear and chant, which is the principal process in Kali Yuga, Shravanam Kirtanam, then your hearing and chanting becomes enhanced, it becomes deeper, it becomes more potent. And I know that myself since I started worshipping Giriraj. I have my Shila, so every day I offer my Seva. So since I've been doing that, my consciousness has been much more, it's been much easier to hear and chant. So that is the potency. So we need to engage in hearing and chanting on a regular basis. And deity worship must also be given. So Narad Muni is so powerful that just by his association, everyone becomes purified. Now, there's a long description in this purport about the appearance of Radha Kund and Shyamakund by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So we'll begin to read that. We can read it and then comment upon it. So Jamuna, you like to read it? Get your iPhone. 36. Verse 36. 16. Chapter 36. We're studying Canto 10. Canto 10. 36. Verse number? 16. 16. Paragraph number?
2.
Are you with us, Jumuna? Thank God. Welcome to the course. Okay, please read him.
From the Puranas, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharyas, describes the origin of Radha Kunda and Shama Kunda, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. These verses are as follows. The innocent young gopis said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Rudrasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?"
So this is the beginning of the pastime. So Krishna is gone into the forest of Vrindavan. Where does the forest of Vrindavan run from? Which area does it cover? There are 12 forests in Braj. Braj means the Braj Mandala. 12 forests, which take up the entire area of Braj, which is 84 square miles. The Vrindavan forest is the largest, and it is the most dear to Krishna. It's Krishna's favorite forest. So where does that cover? Which area? From Nandagram all the way to Keshigad. So if you know Vrindavan, does anyone know what I'm talking about? So if you go from Keshigat all the way to Nandagram, that whole area, that is Vrindavan. That's the main forest. That includes Govardhan Hill. It says, Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, higher than Vaikuntha is?
Mathura.
Yeah. And then higher than Mathura is? Very good. Vrindavan. And higher than the forest of Vrindavan is? Govardhan Hill. And the highest of all is? Radhakund and Shamakund. So Vrindavan forest includes Govardhan. And then within Govardhan is Radha Gunshamudra, which are just appearing now. So Krishna, he's gone into the forest. This is evening time. 8:24 till 10:48 at night. Or 10:36, I think. So that evening time. So Krishna's entered into the forest to perform rasa dance with the gopis. We just heard the rasa lila pastimes. So Krishna is now performing regular rasa dance with the gopis. So he's entered into the forest, and then at that time, this demon Arishta has come to attack Krishna. So Krishna defeats him. So after defeating the demon, we heard last night, what did Krishna do to him?
He
grabbed him by the back legs.
Back legs.
Right, and then he was dashing on the ground like a Dobby Wallet. They picked up his back legs and he's smashing him. Right, and then after smashing him, then he grabbed his horn and ripped it off, and then he stabbed him in the side. Stabbing him. So then he kills him. Yamaraj comes in and gives the final blow and kills him. So he's gone. So then Krishna says to the gopis, now we can enjoy rasa nila dancing. But Radharani says, don't come near us. You're contaminated. Krishna said, how am I contaminated? He said, you just killed a bull. That's the most sinful activity. Don't come near us. Krishna said, he may have been in the form of a bull, but it was an asura. The gopi said, anyway, either way, he was in the form of a bull, you're contaminated. Krishna said, then what shall I do to purify myself? Right? The gopis say, you have to bathe in every holy place in the universe. And Krishna begins to think, well, how is that going to be possible? I have to go around the whole universe just so I can dance with you girls. I'll bring them all here. I'll bring all the holy waters here. So that's what we're hearing now. They're saying to him that you will have to undergo atonement. Which gopis are speaking?
Left wing.
Left wing. Remember we studied this a while ago? What does left wing mean?
Not submissive.
Not submissive. That means they're giving Krishna a hard time. So who is the leader of the unsubmissive gopis? Radha. So this is the appearance of Radha Queen. So they're giving Krishna a hard time. Okay, so we'll keep reading. Do you want to keep reading?
Krishna replied, why should I have to wander through the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my path in them. Just watch. With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground.
So he just puts his heel into the ground. Arishasura had been running, and Arishasura's hoof print dug into the ground. So the hoof bin of the bull was already there. So Krishna pushed his left heel in, and he made it bigger. And he made it big. So he made a small kund. So these original kunds, they're quite small actually. Like if you go to Radha Kund, Shama Kund these days, they're fairly large. But every 20 years or so, 10 years, 20 years, they drain the kunds and they clean them. And when they drain Radha Kund, you see over in the northwestern corner, you see there is Kanchan Kund. Kanchan Kund means, it's where the gopis broke their bangles and they were digging the kund. So it's actually quite small. It's probably like from here to the table, it's just like about 12 foot by 12 foot. It's quite a small kund. That's the original kund. And on Shamakund's side, it was also a smallish kund. But then it was excavated and made much bigger. Because in the spiritual world, actually, the kunds are much, even when you go to Radha Kund, Shamakund in this world, in the spiritual world, they're much, much bigger than that size. Just gives you an idea of the size. So the original kund is in the center. So Krishna, with his foot, he dug and he made a small kund. And then what happened?
Yeah.
What is it?
When the holy rivers appeared
there. Yeah, we were going to read this. Hare Baba. So, 2 minutes. Go.
Then he said,
actually, it is that shampoo.
Hey.
Any shampoo? Yeah, talking about.
At the moment, we're talking about shampoo.
Yeah, but
that's
what it is.
At least the men can control themselves.
Then he said, this is the water of the Bhogavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you, please come here. When the Supreme Lord has spoken these words, all the holy places, holy rivers, places, went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows.
So then he calls all the holy places. So they come there personified. All the rivers, the oceans, the kundas, they all come and they stand before Krishna. And they say, how can we serve you? You've called us. Jamuna, Ganga, Saraswati, Godavari, all of the different holy rivers, Kaveri, they've all come. Right? And they're all standing there before Krishna and say, how can we serve you? So Krishna says, please enter into my kund so that I can take bath. So we'll keep reading.
See all the holy places. But the gopis replied, we don't see them as you describe. Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up. I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Deepika.
So it says the different oceans came. So there are different oceans. There is ocean of milk, ocean of sugar cane juice, different oceans which are there within this world, auspicious oceans. So it says that one day a year in Radha Kund, Shama Kund, one day a year the kund turns like a whitish color. Because it says all of the holy waters are living there. And when the ocean of milk becomes very ecstatic, it says once a year, it bubbles up and then it says the whole kund goes like a whitish color. So even to this day they say that still takes place that fast.
I think one of the Maharaj went there.
Who's that?
He took bath in that milk.
Which one?
The one Maharaj
opened
the milk. He went there at that time.
At that time.
And then he took bath in that milk.
Yeah, I think Bibi Govindamaraj went there.
I am the river Sona. I am the river. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamrapani. And the holy place Pushkara. Tamrapani. And the holy place Pushkara and the river Saraswati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers and the confluence of rivers at Prayaga. Just see our waters.
So we see that. When someone is leaving this world, we take the water of the Ganga or the Jamuna and we sprinkle it on their person in order to purify them. Just like at my house, I have a bottle of holy water and it says 1,008 holy places. They collected that water, Prabhupada's centennial. 1996, they went to all the holy places. They collected the water together and they put it in bottles like that. So, you know, a devotee I hear, like one devotee is leaving, you get some water they can put. But out of all of the waters, the most auspicious water is Radha Kund. Yeah? Does anyone have in their home Radha Kund?
Yeah.
You have Radha Kund? Yeah, I keep it in my house, Radha Kund water. So that is the most auspicious. If you send me a text before next Monday, I'll bring you some. Since we're studying this class, remind me that I'll bring you something like that. So this is Radha Kund. So it's the most source because all of the holy waters are combined in that place. And it is said actually Radha Kund and Shama Kund are non-different from Radha and Krishna. So it is the most auspicious water that you can worship. So we're seeing here Krishna's giving like a list of all the holy waters, which are, he's not mentioning all of them, but they all enter into that kund. And therefore when you circulate Radha Kund or Shama Kund, you're circumambulating all the holy waters in the universe. That's how powerful it is. So it's the most powerful item of bhakti practically. And to bathe in Radha Kund or Shama Kund, it's considered the most auspicious of all baths. But in order to bathe in Radha Kund or Shama Kund, you have to have permission from your guru. So you have to ask. Some gurus niskan, they tell their disciples, just take the water and sprinkle on your head or do archaman. But then some gurus say you can bathe fully. So according to what your Guru Maharaj says, what his mood is, then you should follow.
After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful pond, so go to the work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Arishtasuras, who had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way a divine pond manifested in a short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, go ahead, lotus eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with water from mine. But Radha replied, No. This is impossible, since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. I will have my countless gopi companions bring the water of the Manasa Ganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make it renowned, unequaled in the entire world.
So here we see the mood of the left-wing gopis. They're unsubmissive. So Krishna says, your kund is very beautiful. It is even more beautiful than my kund. The only problem is there's no water in it. So he says, it's okay. You can take the water from my kund. Because they've told him, you are contaminated. Therefore, you have to purify yourself by bathing in all holy water. So Krishna takes bath in front of them. He goes into Shama Kund, takes bath. He comes out. And he says, now I am pure. You say I killed a demon. There you say I killed a bull even. But now I am pure. However, I am pure, but you are impure because you have sided with an asura. Therefore, you are all contaminated by sin, and therefore, you have to purify yourselves. But that's okay. You can take bath in my kund. They said, no, we won't bathe in your kund. It's full of pap, full of sin. Because you have bathed there, all your sins are in there, we won't touch it. We'll make our own. So Krishna says, okay, your kund is beautiful with no water. Take the water from my kund. I said, no, it's all contaminated. We'll take the water from Manasa Ganga. So Manasi Ganga, if you go to Govardhan these days, between Radha Kund and Manasi Ganga, it's about 7 kilometers. Right? I think they said it's 22 around, so that would be 11. So it's about halfway down. So yeah, maybe not 7, but it's probably like 5 kilometers. So this shows the mood of the left-wing gopis. They would rather line up for 5 kilometers and pass pots to fill up Radharani's kund than just take some water from Krishna's kund. This is the mood of the left-wing gopis. They would never submit to Krishna. So if you want to go back to Krishna, you have to practice Raganuga Bhakti. That means you have to learn the mood of the left-wing gopis if you want to go into Radharani's town. So you have to become very arrogant and defiant. And do not be submissive to your bhakti Vedanta teacher. Which is pretty much a good description of all of you anyways. So you're pretty much, you're all qualified as far as I can see. Definitely you can enter into the spiritual world. Yeah. Whenever I tell you to come on time, none of you ever do. Yeah. All right. You argue about, with me about when the exams will be on. Yeah. I ask you to bring the fees for class, you never do. So all of you are highly qualified. So you have the mood of the left-wing gopis. So that is their mood. They'd rather get the water from Meng Xiang to do that. So we'll keep reading.
Did you say, Prabhupada, that they sided?
They what?
That the gopis sided with the Arishtasura. Or sided.
Sided with Arishtasura. Oh. That means that they... No, Krishna said, you've taken the side of the Asura. Because you're contaminated by sin.
How did they take the side of
it? Because
they're supporting
Krishna. Yeah, they're supporting him. They're saying that Krishna has killed Arishtasura.
Yeah.
But then they said, you shouldn't have killed him. He was a bull.
Okay.
So Krishna's saying, you're on his side.
Okay.
And you're saying, I should not have killed him. But actually, I should have killed him. He's an Asura. They said, no, he's a bull. So we don't want anything to do with you.
Okay.
You're a bull killer.
Okay.
Go and dance with some other gopis. That's their mood. Okay.
Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu, Radharani. Then with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. O Goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us, and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy places, Sri Radharani was pleased and said, so kindly tell me your desire. They then told her plainly, our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. That is the benediction we desire.
Yeah, so... We see what is the mood of Krishna. We saw in the previous chapter, what was the previous chapter called? Yugala Gita. So we saw that it is explained in the Yugala Gita that Krishna desires to serve the gopis, desires to serve Srimati Radharani. So even God himself, who is the supreme Vishaya. Vishaya means he is the object of love for all the gopis. The gopis are Ashraya, which means within their hearts they have love for Krishna. But Krishna is the Vishaya, he is the object of the love. But Krishna, he desires actually to be the Ashraya himself and desires to give service to the gopis, especially to Srimati Radharani. He wants to serve her. So therefore he does unlimited service. So when he sees the gopis are perspiring, passing all the water pots to fill the kund. Brinda, you have to settle down. Go and sit. So when he sees that they are passing all the pots to fill up the kund, and they begin to perspire, he cannot tolerate seeing them serving or working. So therefore he wants to serve them. So then he says to the holy waters, go and fill up Radharani's kund. She should not have to work so hard. So now they come personified and they pray and they stand and they say, please, it would be our greatest fortune if we can enter into your kund. You're the supreme goddess of fortune. So the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken to explain one point. Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Equally, for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, the Bhagavatam is explaining Krishna is the supreme Lord and the supreme goddess of fortune is Srimati Radharani. So this is the purport of the Bhagavatam. So this pastime is explaining that even Krishna himself wants to serve Srimati Radharani. And all this pastime is taking place where? Radhakund and Shyamakund, which are where? Next to Govardhan Hill. And it says, Radhakund and Shyamakund are the two eyes of Govardhan Hill. And it says the Giriraj, because he's a mountain, he goes up very high, but then he comes down. So it said he is like a, you could say like a tiger or something. He's like, yeah, described like a peacock, but in another sense, you can see like crouching down, and he's just watching the pastimes in Radhakund and Shyamakund. So Giriraj sits there and he watches the whole time. And he's in ecstasy seeing the pastimes, where God himself, in his original form, is in the topmost level of ecstasy, serving the supreme goddess of fortune. There are no higher pastimes of bliss than this. That's why Radhakund and Shyamakund, the only personalities who can go there are females. No male can go to Radhakund. Shyamakund, Krishna's Dwadasha Sakas, the Dwadasha Gopals, or the 12 prominent cow boys, they can sometimes go to the Shyamakund side and witness the pastimes between Krishna and the gopis. On the Radhakund side is only the gopis and Krishna. So these are the most intimate, most ecstatic pastimes which take place here. There's nothing higher than that.
Prabhupada, you said Krishna is the object of love.
Yeah.
And gopis are ashraya.
Yeah.
I thought Krishna
was
ashraya.
No. Yeah, you're right, because the 10th canto is called ashraya.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Krishna is the ashraya, is the shelter. But in another context, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yeah, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains that that Krishna is the Vishaya, he's the object of love, and the gopis are the givers of the. So it's a different way of explaining ashraya, shelter.
Vishaya. Vishaya is the same as
Krishna is the Vishaya. He is the object of love. It's a different way of explaining the two words.
So Radharani is the ashraya.
Yeah.
Or what gopis?
All gopis, but Radharani is the supreme.
Cleansing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Vrishabhanu replied with a smile, please come. Her gopi companions all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus, gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kunda forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. The Lord Hari then said, my dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are. Radha replied, I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastised Adishtasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me.
Very good. So, it is said that Radha Kun, Krishna gives the benediction, your lake will become more famous than my lake. Krishna gave that benediction. We always say, have you been to Radha Kun? We don't say, have you been to Shama Kun? So Radha Kun is more famous. Because Krishna wants Radharani to be remembered. So therefore he gives more emphasis to her lake. So it is said that the two lakes are the liquid forms of the prema or the love of the divine couple. They are non-different from Radha Kunda is non-different from Srimati Radharani, Shama Kunda is non-different from Krishna. They literally melt, liquefy into the two kunds. So the two kunds are literally the prema, the love, even the embodiment of Radha Kunda, Radha and Krishna, their love for each other. So it says that if you bathe in Radha Kunda and Shama Kunda, or you, even if you put the water on your head or take archana, right, you are directly touching Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. So therefore, it is said that if you want to awaken Manjari Bhav, or the mood of being a follower of the gopis, if you repeatedly take bath in Radhakund and Shamakund, that desire will manifest in your consciousness. So if you always remember Radhakund and Shamakund, daily, if you absorb yourself in remembrance, then you will develop that mood of becoming a mandri, a maidservant. So this is the exalted position of Radhakund and Shamakund. They are supreme amongst all pastime places. Right? It is said there is no higher place in this creation.
That night, Lord Krishna initiated a rasa dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning, filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expanses of the three worlds. As a final note, it should be mentioned that Narada Muni, being a great sage, understood that the killing of Adishta more or less concluded the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada, anxious to facilitate the transferal of Krishna's pastimes to Mathura, approached Kamsa and addressed him as follows.
Any points? We should not even talk about it. Hands up if you want to go back to chapter 1 and we'll start again. Okay, so I'll start a special class. This class will keep going. And for those who want to keep going back to Vrindavan, we'll go back and we'll start again. Any other points? So now, Narada, he wants to speed up the pastime. He wants Kamsa to die. So he wants to bring about this next Leela for Krishna. So then he's speeding the whole thing up. So he goes to Kamsa and he says, the two boys you're looking for, they're just over the river there. Identifies who they are. And he said, they just killed Arishta. So now it is time for you to. So he wants to speed the pastimes up. He's assisting Krishna. And actually, we'll discuss, I'll explain to you more next week. The residents of Vrindavan were starting to go mad. It describes in the works of the Acharyas that Srimati Radharani, I've told you the pastime of the bumblebee, where she's sitting with Krishna, she's on Krishna's lap at Prem Sarovar, which is right next to Varshana. Right, if you go to Vrindavan. Very powerful. Anyone been to Prem Sarovar? A very powerful place. So Prem Sarovar, Radharani is sitting on Krishna's lap. And then Madhu Mangala, Krishna's friend, one bee comes and she's the bee's buzzing around Radharani's face. So Krishna says, Madhu, take away the bee. So he comes and he shooes the bee away. And then he walks back in and he says, Madhusudan is gone. So Radharani is sitting on Krishna's lap, but when she hears he's gone, she falls into separation. Deep mood of Vipralamba. And she begins to say, Madhusudan, Madhusudan. Krishna is amazed that she's sitting right with him, but then she's feeling separation from him, even though she could not be closer to him. And then Krishna becomes overwhelmed, because that's the nature of people in India. If one person starts crying, then the next one starts, and then the whole village starts crying. And no one even knows what everyone's crying about, but it's just, is it like that?
Yes.
Yeah, India's like that. Right? So then she's crying, so then Krishna starts becoming emotional, hysterical. And she's saying, Krishna, Krishna. He's saying, Radhe, Radhe. So they're getting deeply immersed in the mood of separation. Then they come out of the mood and they realize they're both there. So then Krishna begins to think, if I stay in Vrindavan, their moods are going to become so deep, they may even leave their body. Their intensity of what they're feeling is so... It's better I go to a distant place. So he begins to think, now I should leave. So now his pastimes are winding up. So he's thinking like that. Narada wants to bring him out to kill Kamsa and to continue his pastimes. So even though he leaves, when we go further into the Bhagavatam, because he does come back, even though he leaves, in another sense, he never leaves. Srila Prabhupada says that he goes into the hearts of the Vrijbasis. So when they can't see him anymore physically, he's actually gone into uppercut, which means he's unmanifest. He's actually gone into their heart. Because when the gopis feel separation, they look within, they see him. He's actually there. Another time, Prabhupada explains that he's behind a tree. So he's still in Vrindavan, but he's just hiding from them all. Because there is a statement in the Shastra, Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. So he doesn't leave Vrindavan. He's eternally in Vrindavan. So he's either manifest or unmanifest, but he's always in Vrindavan. But to perform the pastimes, it appears that he goes to Mathura. So he has reasons why he does this.
So what happened?
What's that?
You were describing when he goes behind the tree.
Prabhupada explains like that. Prabhupada said that he was behind a tree.
Oh, so he never left. He was just behind
It means he's still there. Like in the Gopi Gita, Vishnu said he's just on the other side of the bush. So they're all there crying. He's just on the other side. And he's saying things and they think that it's in their mind, but actually it's him. So in the same way, the point is he doesn't leave Vrindavan. He could be just behind one of the trees. But he's there, he's in Vrindavan. He never leaves. Or he goes into their heart, Prabhupada explains. So he's always there. Any other point?
Oh. I was listening to a class where he was quoting Mr. Sakira Sandhya Maharaj, and he was saying that someone asked him a question that, after Krishna leaves Vrindavan, the Vrijbasis are completely gone. And Jagatari Mataji was describing during one of the retreats a few years ago, she was describing the emotions of Yashoda and all when Uddhava comes to visit them back and what all they are experiencing, what Uddhava sees in Vrindavan. So it's really sad, on an external level, it's sad to see the plight of the Vrijbasis because Krishna is going on over there. So Maharaj was asked that why did Krishna do this to the Vrijbasis? Why did he even, in the manifest past tense, why did he have to leave Vrindavan? He could have always been there with him. And Maharaj said that, but then in the past tense, he didn't have taken place because Krishna had to give Kamsa, so he had to go to Mathura and then he had to marry all the gopis. The Bhagavad Gita had to be spoken, which is such an important.
yeah, there's more to be done in this earthly realm. So, you know, in one sense we understand he was always there, he never left. But externally it appeared, well, not externally, he did leave, but it says when he goes to Mathura, it's not Swayam Bhagavan, it's not the original form. Who goes to Mathura? Vasudeva Krishna. Yeah, it's his expansion. It's not the original form, not Swayam Bhagavan. Anything else? Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your sons. So in other words, he's enhancing the pastimes. He wants Kamsa to get ready. Kamsa needs to be killed. So he says, take the prophecy seriously. These boys were sent here to kill you. And they're just over there in Vrindavan. So he wants to draw them out of Vrindavan into Mathura. So now he begins to arrange the pastime. Narada arranges many of the pastimes for Krishna. Even one time Krishna said to Radharani, he said, be very careful of Narada. Krishna said to Radharani, be very careful. And Radharani said, no, there's no need to worry. Nothing could ever happen between you and I. He said, no, be very careful. He could even start some problem between you and me. So then one time, Narada, he appeared in Vrindavan, and Krishna was with the gopis, but he's waiting for Radharani to come. So then Narada appeared there, and Krishna said, oh, Narada, you have come. Let me give you a benediction. Narada said, my Lord, I have one desire. I want to see you do Julan Yatra with Lalita. Krishna said, well, okay. So Krishna got on the swing, Lalita got on the swing, they were swinging. Narada said, you've satisfied my heart, thank you. So then he disappeared, and he went to Srimati Radharani. And he said, do you know what Krishna is doing? And Radharani said, he's waiting for me. We're going to do Julan. He said, yeah, but he's on the swing with a Lalita. So Radharani ran there. And she saw. And then she was very upset and then she left. And then Krishna said, oh, no. And then Lalita said, oh, no. And they had to go and pacify Radharani. So Narada likes to. In India, right, they say like this. Don't be a Narad Muni. He likes to do like that.
Yeah, he's a very misunderstood
character, actually. Yeah. People just think Narada means he just fights. But there's a deeper level to all his actions. That is not understood.
Yeah.
Especially in Bollywood.
Yeah, especially Bollywood movies
definitely. Yeah. Yeah, in India, he's perceived as a troublemaker. But because we understand it from the Bhagavatam, you read all through the Bhagavatam, he's the main guru in the Bhagavatam. Yudhishthira's guru, Uddhava's guru, Prahlad, Dhruva Maharaj, right? All the way through. Vyasadeva. Yeah, so all the way through, we see him very differently. So we understand when he causes apparently some problem, that's actually for a higher reason. Upon hearing this, the master of the Bhojas became furious and lost control of his senses. He picked up a sharp sword to kill Vasudeva. But Narada restrained Kamsa by reminding him that it was the two sons of Vasudeva who would cause his death. Kamsa then had Vasudeva and his wife shackled in iron chains. After Narada left, King Kamsa summoned Keshi and ordered him, go kill Ram and Krishna. The king of the Bolgers next called for his ministers, headed by Mushtika, Chanura, Shala, Toshala, and also for his elephant keepers. The king addressed them as follows. So now he's about to send Keshi to Vrindavan. So Arista's been killed. Narada has said Krishna is going to come, attract him here. But still he has one last attempt. He wants to kill him. So he tries one more time. Sends Keshi demon. So Keshi demon is one of the last demons to be killed. My dear heroic Chanura and Mushtik, please hear this. Rama and Krishna, the sons of Anaka Dundubi, Vasudev, are living in Nanda's cowherd village. It has been predicted that these two boys will be the cause of my death. When they are brought here, kill them on the pretext of engaging them in a wrestling match. Erect a wrestling ring with many surrounding viewing stands and bring all the residents of the city and the outlying districts to see the open competition. So he's creating a trap because he knows Krishna likes to wrestle. Krishna likes festivals. Just like if you have a festival at the temple, what happens? Everyone turns up. As soon as you say it's a festival, then the crowd comes. So they know that Krishna likes this. He'll be attracted. So therefore he says, arrange a big festival, big wrestling match. Boys like wrestling matches. Krishna will come. Everyone will come. Draw him into Mathura, and then we can kill him. So he has his trap or his plan. Demoniac people are like this. They make it very nice, but then they try to capture it. Duryodhana was also like this. You, elephant keeper, my good man, should position the elephant Kuvalaya Pita at the entrance of the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies. So we'll hear about this soon, how Krishna kills Kuvalaya Pita. I can't wait to tell this part. Yeah, this one's a good one. When he kills Kuvalaya Pita. Commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdashi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic scriptures. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva. So when people are in Tamagun, they do the wrong type of sacrifices. What is the right type of sacrifice? Yeah, Sankirtan Jagya. Well, you know, we do Jagyas here at the temple. You know, when there's initiations or when there's a auspicious ceremony like Janmashtami, we do Jagya. But we offer ghee, we offer barley, we offer grains. But Kamsa here, ignorant people, they don't understand the proper way to please the great personality. So he thinks, I'll cut off some heads as goats, and then I'll offer them to Lord Shiva. But nothing could displease Lord Shiva more. Lord Shiva is a devotee. He doesn't want goat's heads offered to him. But these days, people are very ignorant. They do all sorts of things, thinking that it will satisfy the Lord or his representatives. Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. So this is a materialist. This is classic materialism. You want someone to do something for you, so then you treat them very nicely. Isn't it? We even do this ourselves, isn't it? Right? If you want your husband to do something for you, or your wife to do something, you become all nice. You know your wife wants something. She cooks you a nice dinner, right? And she's done everything nicely, right? And then you know there's something coming, right? You know she's going to say, oh, Prabhu, you know, we need this and this and this. You know? So, you know when there's too much. Even a few years ago, one of my friends, a devotee, a very close friend, he wanted to marry a particular girl. And the girl, she sees me like as her, like shiksha, you know, like a someone she takes some shelter of, senior devotee. So then he cooked me he said, come over to my house. So I go to his house, nice dinner, curd, sabji, all these things. Sits down, he serves me nicely, all these things. So I'm just sitting there the whole time just thinking, so why don't you just ask what you want? Because I know there's something you want. Right? So then he said, and then at the end of it he goes, so I'm thinking of marrying this girl. What do you think? I said, I don't think it's a very good idea. she's much younger than you, and I didn't think it was a very good idea. I just told him honestly. But this is the nature of the material world. We want something. We're very nice. You know, the husband says all nice things to the wife. You know, the husband speaks very sweetly, and he's very kind and very loving, very affectionate, because he's going to ask the wife to do something she doesn't want to do. So this is the way it works in the material world. So Kamsa, he's very expert. So he's holding a Kuru by the hand. Yeah, you're my dear friend. You know, can you please do this for me? So this is materialism. So it mentions in the verse that he's expert in two things. There's four goals of life. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. So he's demons, they're only expert in two things. You know, Artha and Karma. Make money and enjoy your senses. Dharma, they're not very good at. And moksha, they're not very interested in. Right? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Kamsa is like this. Right? He's very expert in artha. He's very wealthy. Right? He likes to enjoy his senses, but not very good at the other things.
Even Duryodhan was like this. Very expert in pleasing people, and he wanted to get to the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably, if he must or is interested in these two, why the devotees follow the same thing then?
What is it?
You know, you said your friend called you to have some advice. I mean, he's a devotee, he's not a demon. So demons are the ones who are interested in karma and...
No, because even as devotees, we're still materialistic. Right? All of us are devotees, but we have material desires. So sometimes we act in a material way. Sometimes we do like this. Okay, last verse. My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the Bhojas and Vrishnis, there is no one else as kind as you. So if you want to get someone to do something for you, especially you'll speak very sweet words. You know, sweet speech is the most powerful way to persuade people. There's one very nice book which was written many years ago, a long time ago actually, but it's still one of the best books to read. In terms of sales, if you want to be a good salesperson, by Dale Carnegie. It's an old, old book. How to Win Friends and Influence People. That very, very good book. It's like a Bible. Even for devoted, very good book. If you read it from like a devotional perspective, it's very powerful. Because it teaches you how to win friends and influence people, which isn't, as devoted, we want to do that. We want to make friends with everyone. Especially when you're preaching, and even amongst the other devotees, it's a very good book. But if you take it the other way, because he says you should always use people's names. Yeah, everyone likes to hear the sound of their name. So you use their names. Country people do this. So like, I'm living at the farm. All the people around the farm, all the plumbers and electricians, when they come, they say your name all the time. Not, it's just natural for them. It's very endearing. Yeah, you feel very close to them when they do that. So Kamsa is very good at this. He says, my dear Akrura. So he speaks in this way, and he's trying to, but he has the wrong motivation. Srila Prabhupada ki.